are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Today, this is Reggie Hammond, your host for the Finding Your Forte talk radio show on Up to Me Productions. I'm really excited to bring to you a really special guest for our Power Lunch Hour today. But first, I just want to share that this podcast would not be made possible if it were not for the generous support from our sponsors. And in fact, a special thank you goes to Atlanta Life Media Agency for sponsoring this episode. Atlanta Life Media Agency is a premier Georgia television, film, and entertainment behind-the-camera production support consultant agency. Check them out at www.atlma.net. That's www.atlma.net. That's Atlanta Life Media Agency, where connections are made. And if you'd like to join our conversation as a sponsor, please email us at info@uptomeradio.com. And with that said, I would love to introduce to some and just to say hello to others, my dear, dear friend, Miriam Sinft. And Miriam is awkward for me to say because everyone close to that loves her, we affectionately call her Mim. So hi, Mim, how are you?
Hi, Reggie. Great to be here today.
Thank you so much for joining our podcast, and this is going to be a really exciting conversation, mostly because a good bit of the trajectory in our relationship has played out in a way that's really connected, well connected to purpose and well-being, and I love how the twists and turns of opportunities and pursuits that we both had, we've been able to share with each other and you know, drag each other along and lead each other through. So thank you so much for that. I definitely have a really special place in my heart for our relationship, and I thank you for the opportunity to nurture that.
Well, thank you so much, Reggie. It is one of the joys of being in this industry and getting connected to truly head, heart, hands-focused leaders. And clearly you are one of those, and it is, again, such a joy to call you a friend and a colleague and be on this bigger mission of how we can all do more good together. So, again, thrilled to be here and just be part of this conversation today.
Yeah, I feel likewise, and I think that is, you know, what we represent for each other is a microcosm of what pursuit of purpose looks like as people connect with each other and encourage each other and position each other, how that can unfold. So I would love to just start by, you know, sharing some of the background stuff that for you and I is probably boring because it's just kind of who we are and what has brought us to be. But just to give listeners some perspective on how we have come to be such good friends with such animated stories of, you know, tablecloths and Persian restaurants.
I was wondering if you're going to bring up the tablecloth, but yes.
Yeah, tablecloth. We're going to talk about the tablecloth.
Yes.
But really, like, so, you know, Mim and I had the opportunity to meet as we were both going through a coaching certification in New York. We spent a long weekend there and immediately connected in a really compelling way. And so I just wanted to bring her to this conversation as over the past, what's now been 3 or 4 years, she's been a staunch supporter of our On Purpose conference each year we've done it, and she's brought awareness to a new organization that is taking off like gangbusters. Every time I talk to her, I've got some new amazing accomplishment that they've been able to achieve. And, you know, just like any good a do-gooder would do, if you see a rocket taking off, you jump on board. So I had the opportunity to join as a founding member for Global Women for Well-Being, and their mission is absolutely amazing and compelling and very necessary in our world around empowering women and wellness through leadership, and making sure that those opportunities exist for us to continue to advance women in the societies and the corporations and organizations that we have the opportunity to connect to. But I know that I can't possibly do justice to who GW4W is without giving Mim the opportunity to do that. So Mim, if you don't mind, just kind of give us a little bit of an introduction to you and the work you've done, and you know, if you can, and then we can, and then we could talk a little bit more about what you're working on now.
Sure, absolutely. And I just want to say thank you so much for being one of our founding members. I think with many organizations that get focused on women's issues, men often feel like they want to get involved, not sure if they should, not feel if they feel comfortable doing that. But we are a group that clearly welcomes all the great men that stand beside us. And thank you so much, Reggie, for being one of those. It just means so much to me personally, and I know so much to the organization. So,
well,
we
I am
are...
elated to be. Yeah, and I plan to bring more men like me. So we get it.
Good.
We're coming.
So we are an organization by and for women and all, as I said, the great men that stand beside us. And this grew out of a conversation that happened a couple of years ago at the Shine event, which is a sustainability conference event out of the Harvard School of Public Health. And for many of us that have been in the wellness world, sustainability world, research world, there is a frustration around some of the issues that are still facing women. Many of the issues are ones that we were talking about many, many moons ago when we started our careers. things like salary parity and caretaking issues and sexual harassment in the workplace and health and well-being for us as female leaders. And so we decided that we wanted to become an organization that could help drive this forward, not to compete with any other women's organization, but instead be a connector. So we make it a point to connect with organizations like UN Women. We're really proud to have done an event with them just this past July, and looking to partner with any women's issue-focused organization, particularly nonprofits, to help highlight their great work, but then also support the work that we're doing so that we can all grow together. And I'm thrilled that we are now moving into doing some international events next year. So not only will we be doing events around the country, but we will be in a number of other places. We're talking to some folks in Japan and South Africa. And so very excited.
That is exciting. Wow. That's just this just in news that you hadn't even shared with me yet. So
I didn't. we're holding on with reins and just going, okay, here we go.
That's awesome.
But I think to your point, you know, the time really is now for a whole host of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those, and I know this is something that you bring into your work about a sense of purpose. That how can you be a purposeful leader if you are not what we call a head, heart, hands leader?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's our, you know, this model for women moving forward. Women in the workplace have been, in some cases, not all obviously, but in many cases, kind of been forced into a male model as they go up the ladder and often feel very isolated. But there are leaders not just in corporations, there are leaders in communities, leaders in your own family. And so what does it mean to be a truly healthy female leader so that we can have a more sustainable world? And that's what we're on the mission to move towards and answer more clearly, give more action steps through inspiration, shared stories, being at events and sharing, you know, great voices that we already have in the organization, but also doing the research And that was very key to what we wanted to be able to bring to the table. So many of women's issues are thought of in little isolated buckets. So, and all very good. So you might have tons of studies about women in domestic abuse situations, mm-hmm. but that's not often tied to financial well-being or right. the caretaking issue that sits under it. So what we want to bring to the table is more systemic thinking around women's issues and then turn that research into real action steps that leadership can then use in their organizations. Because I know you know this, that oftentimes researchers do wonderful research.
Right.
Not necessarily translatable into a work environment or a community
exactly.
environment.
Right, right.
Yeah. So,
as you're continuing to make traction and you're making some pretty amazing progress, I would imagine you're starting to see a correlation of some of the leaders and organizations that get it and that are fast to fall in line and throw their support around what you all are trying to accomplish. And then there's, I would imagine, resistance. Have you seen any, kind of correlation either in industry sectors or, wherever they are on the continuum from startup to, accomplished Fortune company? Have you seen what kinds of organizations feel really fertile for what you guys are doing with TW4W?
Well, I think you'll see, companies like an Eileen Fisher, and they're not just from a, from a women's leadership perspective, but also from more of a culture of care, culture of excellence perspective, are really what I would call like the gold standard. And that plays out in very, very low turnover rates, just, their employees highly rate them as an employer internally on, employee satisfaction surveys that are done anonymously. And, mm-hmm. And they're verified studies so that they do with their employees. So I think they're a good example. I think the Breakers from a cultural perspective is working towards that. GoDaddy, believe it or not, I know people will be like, what? GoDaddy? Because we know what their commercials look like, a number of years
right.
ago. But
right,
they
right.
have been working very hard to get salary parity for all their female employees throughout their organization.
Wow. That's
and
huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it's a step in the right direction. And I'm always about let's applaud the people that are, that are moving there and thinking about it. I think that there is a growing awareness that a lot of the women's leadership initiatives haven't really worked. And that's sad because many major organizations have them.
Yep.
And in fact, I've actually heard that from major, we've solved this problem. And then you start pulling out the data and going, mm-hmm. And how many senior leaders do you have? How many women do
right.
you have on your board?
Right.
How many female leaders do you have at that second tier right under the C-suite that are being groomed for top positions? And, and as you and I know, when we start talking about this from a diversity perspective, it's even worse.
Right, right.
So,
I guess that I think is what creates the opportunity for, the work that you're doing. And, in some ways, I would imagine, challenges leaders and organizations to think very differently about what these women's initiatives should look like or what the impact looks like. And I guess what might help our listeners tune in this conversation, and I can tell you that you've got advocates and fans very much so amongst them, as this is coincidentally, maybe not so much an issue that we are often working to advance in the work that we do at Your Crescendo. But if you had to describe what an ideal state in an organization looks like, perhaps after Global Women for Wellbeing has had its impact, or it fits, kind of the kind of space, even, a little bit more cynically, maybe you could say, if you see an organization in this kind of shape, they have efficiently prevented the need for your help because they are already in a pretty ideal state. What does that look like? What does that ideal target state look like for in organizations as a healthy place for women?
Yeah, so let's level set first before I go there, in that just want to share with the audience that the World Economic Forum came out with their gender equity report on November 2nd. And that's really important, I think, for people to take a look at. Unfortunately, the report shows that globally, gender equity is going backwards, not forwards, despite the best efforts of organizations. So I would hope that that would send up a big red flag for many, many leaders out there and say, okay, we're not doing something right. And the second thing that comes through in that report, you know, and again, it's different. It does break down geographically and by organization, but in general, globally, they project it will take 100 years for women to have gender equity, including things like salary parity and leadership parity, healthcare parity. So we got a lot of work to do. you know, we do want to find and highlight and talk about some of the better organizations out there. So as you know, Reggie, we do have, you know, we've worked very hard to get major female leaders from a variety of backgrounds and industries to come to our events and talk about their real experience. We think that's the best way to learn, because you'll hear the sugar-coated version. You know, I went to the Ivy League school, and this is what happened, and yay, and now here I am. But that's usually not the case with most women when you really get them to talk about their story. And we think that's important because that will help the next generation of women. Hopefully help them get over some of the barriers faster. An ideal place, and so again, that's why I wanted to give you that 100-year mark. Like, I would like to see 25 years from now a discussion that is about not so much male-female, but it, more from a humanistic perspective. You know, do we have the is everybody bringing their best to the table? And is there a safe psychological environment for everybody to be able to do that? And honoring the best of what men and women bring to the table. But there are a lot of barriers, you know, that we've got to figure out before we get to that point. In an environment where everybody's voice is heard and everybody feels respected, regardless of background, you know, the science clearly shows that that's where you get the most innovative teams. And so not only is it the right thing to do, but it is clearly the smart thing to do. And the third thing I'll add to that is that Harvard Business Review and a variety of other organizations have published research that shows when you go from 0 to 30% female leadership at the top, qualified leadership, on average, you get a 15% increase in your profit margin. So there's a pretty good financial reason for doing this too.
Yeah, that's a pretty compelling business case.
Yeah, I've actually thrown that out at conferences before I started talking, just asking business leaders if I could give you a way to give you a 15% bump in your profit margin, would you do that? And of course, what's the answer going to be? Of course, it's going to be yes. But,
right.
You know, but the truth is it's more complicated, and we've got some cultural DNA that we really need to dig into and understand what those biases are and practically not just talk about them, not just have a once-a-year training that everybody, you know, that's more of a check-the-box thing, but truly start to examine what does this better culture, this more creative culture, this more competitive and thriving culture look like, so that men and women can do well.
And I from my perspective, I see that opportunity all the time. I mean, if you think about how in an organization where there are equity challenges, particularly around, you know, compensation and a range of other issues, you know, you have really suppressed talent and performance. And so as you start to elevate, remove some of those issues and elevate women to roles that illustrate that, you know, as an organization, that you're not institutionalizing, you know, oppressions that would keep them in lower ranks, you know, just from an individual performance perspective, you can see that thrive, and you would see a person start to thrive. Clearly, if it's a meritocracy, then you're going to see organizations and their performance start to thrive. So, I don't know, just using my business instincts, I would think 15% would be on the low side. I mean, if you, as you think about how organizations thrive from being able to empower, high performing leaders and being able to tap into a new level of talent that they'd otherwise may have had suppressed, there's a huge opportunity to be able to enhance business performance there.
Well, and I think it also, I would hope that the business environment could create more of a space where what's considered to be more feminine qualities are embraced by men and women. And I think that that's been a real barrier. I mean, one of the things that Professor Beer from Harvard's business school talks about all the time is this, we have to stop thinking about knock everybody off the top of the mountain. That's not the kind of management leadership that we need. It's not winner take all. And, there are many work environments, unfortunately, that are still very focused that way. But instead understand the power of connection. And connection not just between people, but connection between ideas, or even looking at your industry and saying, who can we collaborate with? We do this well, you do that well, but together we can be even better. And it is considered more of a feminine trait, and I know some people don't like that word, but a softer trait. And yet it's one of those things that when we're looking at shared economy and we're moving into this different world over the next 15, 20 years, this is just one of those skill sets that businesses should be developing in their, in their teams and in their leadership. And so it is a unique opportunity for women and men to embrace that, to create that kind of environment where, again, not only do they have a competitive edge, but it just opens up possibility. You're not in these little lanes anymore. Suddenly it's a very different landscape, and I truly believe it's gonna make those companies succeed, that choose to go out and embrace this.
Tell us a couple of stories. I mean, give us examples of some companies that have been embracing some of the recommendations that you guys have made and what that looks like in terms of the work to do so, and then maybe even the impact that it's had.
Well, just to be clear, we've only been around a year.
Right. So we're catching this story as it's coming out of the starting block.
This is the baby. Yeah, this is the baby steps out of the gate. We've attracted senior leadership. Like, we have the global wellness director from Delta Airlines and the global managing director of sustainability from Owens Corning and the CEO from National Van Lines. And we've had Eileen McNeely, who's on our advisory board from Harvard School of Public Health. Like, we've gathered amazing women that get it and want to have more of a network to support each other and grow together. So I think that was obviously one of the initial steps. The second thing that we did was, thank you very much to you and to all our members, was supporting two research literature reviews. Because as I said at the beginning, one of the major issues is we have to understand the lay of the land. Too often we get drawn to funding research because it's emotional for us. And that's not bad, whether it's breast cancer because somebody in your family, unfortunately, had to go through breast cancer or domestic abuse or whatever it is. But we wanted to, as an organization, take three steps back and say, what has been done? What is the lay of the land for women's health and well-being issues? And what's the lay of the land from the barriers to women in leadership? And so some of the interesting things that came up through this research literature reviews were, one, from the health and well-being side, and I always try and talk about this, almost all health research has been done on men and male animals.
Mm.
Men and male animals. Let's think about that. Right. So here, your mom, your sister, your girlfriend, your daughter goes in and gets a prescription from the doctor. Well, that drug was probably just tested on male physiology.
Wow.
And our physiology is a little different. So even when you step back down into leadership, right? If I'm having an issue and the medical protocols are not as effective for me, is that going to affect me as a leader? Sure. Right. Of course it will. Yeah. Caretaking, and I can't overemphasize this, shows up all over the place underneath all kinds of things. So it disproportionately impacts women in the workplace. There are some quiet or not so quiet biases around women of childbearing years, even if you're not married, even if you don't want to have a child. Where for men, there's been research to show that an executive male actually gets like a salary bump for being a dad,
mm-hmm.
where wow. lower income women get a pay gap if they have children. And so it's some of these things that we have to really dig into and start to understand. So if I'm a lower paid woman that has a child that now can't get the promotion, now that impacts me from not just a caretaking perspective, it's going to cost me more for caretaking, but over my lifetime, the financial hit to me is going to be huge. And so it is complicated. And it's taking this back and having these conversations. Another topic that we focused on this year was women in the media. How are women portrayed?
Right.
From a diversity perspective, a body image perspective, ageism perspective, and how that impacts us. And there's great, great science behind this. So one of the things that we wanted to get across is that, at least in the U.S., less than 2% of the images that you see of women are of like real bodies. 2%.
Wow.
Right? So how does that impact a little girl that's growing up? How does
exactly.
that impact her when she walks
yeah.
into the workplace? What's the bias against women about how we dress, how we wear our hair, that impacts
right.
us in a very different way than men? And that's important for men and women to understand, because we have to question that in ourselves as leaders.
Right.
Am I really being unbiased? or something coming up in this conversation I might need to check myself on? So I'm not saying that we have the answers, but the goal is to build out bigger and bigger connections around all these different pieces so that
well,
we can be more effective at addressing the issues.
And I really appreciate that. I think it brings, it brings to surface the real challenge. It says some of the things that you're referring to are so hardwired in the way that we think, eat, breathe, live within our organizations. To be able to try to make some impact on, seeing healthy images and the effect that has on our psyche and our presence and our ability to be centered in the work that we're doing. That's huge. And it's, how do you even begin to, fix that? You of course, the research helps and it kind of points you in the right direction on what it is you're trying to remedy. But it's an arduous task to look at how much work needs to occur and to prioritize that work, and be able to move stakeholders in the direction of that work in a way that, brings about real change.
Right. And I will say that one of the real blessings really of the amazing group of women that we've already have jumped on board with us are their level of expertise. So I'll give you an example of some of that. So Nancy Board, who's one of the co-founders and also a dear friend,
right.
has an extensive EAP background. She has a training program that's really about the inner voice. It's really getting women to do deep work around, the voice that they've carried around seeing those images their whole life. Getting to some of the issues that haunt us in a way that unfortunately for men, or fortunate for men, not so fortunate for us, obviously, that sometimes really need to be discussed. And it's fascinating, along those lines, what's fascinating to me is seeing all this stuff in the news right now about sexual harassment, because I promise you there has not been a meeting that I've been in, if it's just women and they're fairly successful over a certain age, you close the door, pretty much everybody has a story.
Right.
In every
right.
industry. And it wasn't something that we could ever talk about. But, we don't believe you. And that's something that personally happened to me as a young woman in my career. And I
right.
flat out was told, oh, no, he would never do something like that.
Wow.
And then, well, what's the proof? Well, how can I prove that if there's only two of us in a room? There's no camera
right.
in the room. It's
right.
not like. And so it's the kind of thing where you can do this inner work. I think the other part of this is this where it gets to be like the healthy leader conversation. And Renee Moorfield, who is one of our members, is doing a Women in Leadership online program with Welcoa, which we got her connected to, and said, you know, bring your expertise to the table. And so she really does a lot more around the mindfulness piece. What does a mindfulness, you know, mindful female leader look like? And so she brings that piece to the table. So that is something that we're developing at a GW4W, so that it's not just, again, it's fine to talk about the research, but unless we have ways of bringing it into the environments and being able to tweak it to work in those particular environments. So, you know, you I know you've been in business world and many, many people on this call, and what you would do in a financial firm may be very, very different than what you would do in a hospital
setting
with their employees. And so having people that are experienced and bringing them in to do some of this, I think specifically for women, is very, very, very important. But I think the huge tie-in to the work that you do is this deep sense of purpose and how women will, particularly if they have children, will not take those risks in the same way that a man will. And understanding what that looks like for them. And so it's, you know, it's not better or worse. It's just understanding what the lay of
it's
the land
different.
Is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And can we build a network of women? And this is another one of the GW4W pillars. So we are also about advocating for women-owned and women-focused businesses, provided they really are like health and well-being related, no diet pills. We're not going to do that kind of stuff.
Right.
Not our thing.
Right.
But if you are a quality provider and you're smaller or you know, looking to get voice, this is the other thing we want to do through GW4W. We want to bring you to conferences. We want to highlight your products and services, and we want you to be part of our family. And then what we, you know, ask for is a little bit of it goes back for the research, so that everybody is paying towards the research, but your business is getting, you know, some good marketing through our network. I am really pleased that we have one of our new members that we got over to a venture capitalist that supports us, and she just got some very good funding. So, you know, there's no promise that we can do that for everybody. I want to be clear about that.
Right.
For those that have quality and want to be part of this, it becomes that ecosystem of virtue for women, so that we do the research, we inspire each other at these events, we support each other through our dollars as well from a financial well-being perspective, and, you know, with the goal of making this better for the next generation of women.
That's so powerful, and I personally feel like that is a pretty compelling value proposition, you know, particularly as you think about, you know, raising the level of awareness through research and, you know, empirical evidence. I so look forward to continuing to be a part of GW4W's trajectory and watching your own personal and organizational pursuits, you know, continue to ascend, and, you know, wish you all the absolute best. I think this is a good point in our conversation to take a small break. We'll give our listeners a second to kind of catch a breath and get off the edge of their seats for a minute, maybe grab a sip of water. But we will be right back after this break in the conversation and continuing to talk more about GW4W and MIM and some of the things that they have on the horizon. So just after the break, we'll be right back.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
And we're back. Thank you so much, listeners, for hanging with us. I will remind you that we're having a pretty exciting conversation here with a really good and dear friend, Mim Simpson, and she is doing the heavy lift and some work that our world very much needs around women and wellness through the organization Global Women for Wellbeing. And if you've been a part of our conversation to this point, then you know that they, you know, are thriving and hitting a stride of really exciting stuff on the horizon. What I would really like for Mim, if you don't mind, if you can take us in this conversation to, you know, help us have some perspective for like what's on the horizon, like as you look forward and start to think about the future that you're working towards, that you're trying to create. You know, give us some sense of what you see from a vision perspective.
Great, happy to do that. You know, I just want to say thank you, because it's not, you know, as with any great organization, it is because of all the amazing people that I get to work with every day on this. So I just want to acknowledge Nancy Board and Deb Smolensky as the two co-founders, our board, our advisory board, our young leaders board. We really do believe in, you know, more good together. No one person ever can do it by themselves. And truly blessed to have this extraordinary group of leaders that are all very, very active. So we have in a year done 12 events, finished 2 research projects. We're closing in on 9,500 connections on Facebook. We're growing our membership. So, you know, it has been super exciting year. And we're looking towards 2018 to do events not only around the country on a variety of topics. We'll also be collaborating with a number of big conferences and organizations, one of which is National Wellness Institute and Wellness Council of America, WellCOA. And also we've worked in collaboration with the Global Wellness Institute. We are a global organization, and we, you know, people thought that was a little audacious for us to say that out of the gate. But it truly was our mission to do that. And so we are looking to do a number of events around the world next year. And it'll depend on which sponsors come in first,
right.
You know, and how we get that coordinated. But we think, as it stands now, we're going to be in South Africa, Japan, Singapore, India, probably Argentina, and maybe London, UK. I'm also having a conversation early in the year with some folks in Germany. So we'll see. Yeah, I know. Well, it gets back to, you know, there are universal issues for women at leadership at all levels, things like
exactly.
caretaking, things like salary parity. But it's also important to get to hear about what some of the cultural differences are and learn from each other. And it will be hopefully very helpful then for multinational organizations to take that into consideration, you know, as they're trying to develop more female leadership, because for them, it will be different in Japan than it would be in London, than it would be in San Francisco. And so we want to bring some of that knowledge to the table as well next year.
That's all really exciting. I am elated to sit back and watch just the momentum start to pick up, and recognizing how very necessary the work is, and how extraordinarily committed you are to the mission. It just, you know, makes my little heart go flutter.
Well, as you say, Reggie, when you are connected to your purpose, when you know in your heart of hearts what you're supposed to be doing. And
exactly.
I have to say, look, and I don't want to sugarcoat this, right? I mean, I said to the, we all agreed and looked at each other and said, you understand this is going to be like being in labor for 2 years, right?
Right.
This will be
labor.
It's
right.
birth and a baby, and that's okay. And the fact that, again, it is this big group, including you, including all these great men that are standing beside us, this is how we make that change. This is how we say it does not have to be 100 years.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, again, you bite off the piece that you can for each year. So like I said, that bigger picture of what are we going to focus on for 2018,
right,
we are
right.
looking at that connection between the caretaking issue, financial well-being, and our
right.
ability as a woman to lead. And that's going to be kind of the first big focus for next year as we start to flesh out the other pieces underneath. But we found that to be pretty universal. So I think it'll be an exciting conversation.
That is exciting. And like I said, it's just been I have been humbled just to be along for the ride. And, you know, I continue to, you know, stay close to all the work that you all are doing and, you know, look for ways to help. I'm really looking forward to hopefully we have a chance to connect in January again and help to do our part here, at least geo, you know, from to make sure that there are peaches in the future.
We want peaches. We want
right.
people in Georgia. Yes. Georgia leadership, Atlanta leadership.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, one of the things I like to do kind of this, you know, second half of the conversation as we're starting to bring it to a close, you know, is for you to really kind of take your, put your futurist hat on, your visionary hat, and like, as you are having conversations with, you know, really powerful leaders and organizations and the work that they're trying to have happen, and they, you know, here you come with a set of solutions and some information on things that may be able to address and resonate with challenges that they are feeling, you know, paint a picture of what our organizations and our workplaces look like after you've had an opportunity to bring about a much more prosperous and thriving and equitable landscape for women in terms of, you know, what does that look like from an organizational perspective? Like, what do you see? What do you see very differently than we see today?
Well, I mean, clearly we'll see more women in leadership positions.
Right.
I think at all levels
right.
and in all industries. So, you know, there are some industries, clearly, interestingly enough, I didn't know that occupational therapy companies are predominantly owned by women, which I think is kind of cool. That's not the norm, as we know. So I would, you know, we would like to see it across the board. Financial well-being. And I just have to give a shout out to Erica Karp of Cornerstone Capital Partners, who is an amazing mm-hmm. woman in finance and leading the way, you know, around financial sustainability and using money for good. And
right,
it's just
right.
great to see her voice out there. So more of those types of leaders that make it a work environment where, and again, where men and women thrive together. It's I would hope that we aren't even having this kind of conversation by the end of my lifetime, and I'm not naive about how long change can take, but that's where we'd want to, you know, push, where young women coming out of college know that they have equal opportunity. I mean, we know that women are graduating from college at a faster rate than men in the U.S., but by the end of their first year, they're on average making less than their male counterparts.
Right.
So
right.
in the future, we want to know that everybody that is contributing and doing a, you know, doing a terrific job. I would also say the bigger change that we need to look at is just how the workplace is designed in terms of hours, caretaking issues, and really getting to some of those points so that having a child or having a family is not a barrier for women. And in fact, hopefully we're not even thinking about that in a discussion. It would never come up when a woman is up for being promoted into a new position, and that there are clearly females that carry this bias too, that all of these things can start to shift so that we can connect people to their purpose and give them that sense that they can contribute and have a full life. Not have to give up a family to do a career, not give up a career to have a family, but that we have really a very different model. And, it, you know, flex schedules are just, you know, the norm, that we have family leave that's paid for men and women. So there are very, you know, some very specific things. And I would also hope that over time that we get the health research done for women so that that's also not a barrier. And that, from our perspective, is how you move towards a sustainable world.
You know, I got to tell you, that definitely paints a brighter future. And I think that, you know, even as you, so many of the things make so much sense. So it's challenging to accept that it's taken us this long to even start to bring some of the focus to get some of these things right. But, you know, as my mom has a saying, you know, it's just too much like right. I mean, it should have been done.
I love that.
A while ago. I mean, why, you know, to be able to, like, how much sense it makes to say, you know, to when you recognize it, when you recognize the upside of having a thriving place with a healthy, you know, pool of talent, you know, and I apologize for objectifying resources, but, you know, to be able to have a, you know, a healthy group of talent and specifically women leaders that are not being, you know, kind of contained through the constraints of being, you know, who they are as you know, contributors to our society and, you know, reproducing and making sure that our, you know, countries are continuing to thrive. Like, it should make it makes all the sense in the world to be able to accommodate that so that they can thrive in the workplace as well. And so that homes and families and communities and companies and our world gets the best that everyone has to offer. We do it, you know, pretty easily with men, and, you know, and it just takes a little bit more thoughtfulness and a whole lot of the work that you're doing to get it to, you know, to get it. I just get so passionate about this. Like, I just kind of want to walk around in offices and start shaking people. Come on, you got to get with it.
Get on board with this. Just, well, it's the, you know, it's fascinating. I was some of the younger people that I'm lucky enough to get to work with that are, you know, in their 20s, and their focus on wanting a better world is, you know, so inspiring to me. They're like, let us help. Let us get involved. What can we do? We don't, you know, we don't want to do what our parents did. And I'm actually going to take this back to, I think it was the first On Purpose conference that I went to, and I was talking to some of the millennials that you had there.
Mm-hmm.
And fascinating listening to them saying, you know, we watched our parents give their whole lives to these organizations.
Right.
And at the end of their careers, they basically kicked them out the door.
Exactly. Exactly.
And
on a reorg.
That's not
right.
What we want, you know,
right.
That bond between, you know, a corporation that cared for its employees and employees that stayed with them for, you know, for eons, in some cases their entire lifetime, is gone. And so
right.
Great corporations that want to stay competitive, I mean, that's the business case, need to understand that embracing a more collaborative and flexible environment is actually going to make them more successful in the long run. And it will impact their bottom line. This isn't just some fuzzy thing.
Exactly.
You know, plus, what are you doing? Is like, what's your purpose as an organization? Is it hurting the long-term environment for your grandchildren? And I mean that not just from a, you know, the physical environment. I'm talking about work environment, community environment. Or is this something that brings great value to your community, your country, your world? Like, what is it that you're bringing forth that can really help people or make them feel good and give them a better quality of life? And, you know, and again, it's that there are plenty of folks that go out there and want to turn a quick buck and, you know, and here's my money, but what's the long-term consequences of those choices? And that's what great leadership really is about. I think folks that are truly on purpose get that they have the opportunity to give to a greater world. And it could be as simple as, this is an amazing cookie made with the best ingredients, and it's just going to put a smile on your face. That's okay. That's a good thing.
Right.
You know, or it could be that drug that, cures cancer. Or maybe it's the discovery that we don't need a drug at all. We just need to get more sleep. And eat healthy and hug each other once in a while.
Yeah, I would offer that's likely the prescription, and I'm all over making sure that we do our part to make sure that, you know, contribution to, you know, just overall health and well-being occurs. And this has been an outstanding conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to spend it with us. Absolutely. I just, and, you know, more than anything, I just thank you for being a really good friend and colleague. You know, who knew that when, you know, we spent our weekend in New York at this, in this training for a couple of days, that we would go away and you would go on to do some of the amazing things and things that you're doing. And then, you know, you would be my traffic cop into the wellness community, which has been phenomenal to be able to experience. You guys have been, you know, completely open arms. Yeah, so thank you so much for all of that, and just specifically for joining this conversation today. I've really enjoyed the conversation, and I think our listeners are as well. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Really, such a pleasure. And I do want to say happy holidays, since I know it's in December.
That's so appropriate. Happy holidays, everyone. Thank you for getting me in the spirit, man. I've just been working so hard, I haven't even had a chance to notice that
it's
it is
a season of light for just about every group. So let's bring some light in the world.
Exactly. Thank you so much, and happy holidays. And, you know, with that, I will just say it's been great to wrap another Finding Your Forte conversation with someone really special, doing some really powerful and compelling work in pursuing not only her own purpose, but the purpose of an organization, Global Women for Wellbeing, in such a compelling and fascinating way. And we're going to stay close to that work and try to help it as much as possible. But for that, I would like to wish you all an amazing day. Hope you have much prosperity this day and this holiday season. And as always, we encourage you to find your forte, compose your masterpiece, and play your crescendo. Touch the sky, fly high, 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 high.
Your heartache.